Welcome to A Time Apart. I'm Pat Rutherford. Claudia and I have enriched our lives with hours and hours of teachings and talks that really have made a huge impact upon us as we learn about Jesus and our instruction manual. We've wanted for you to be as blessed and equipped as we have been and as we continue to be. That's why we have developed A Time Apart. Now you will be able to hear what we are hearing and study what we are studying. It will be aired 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 days a week, and we believe it will be so important to you that we're going to include it in our podcast each day on our website at pbnradio.com so you don't miss an episode. Bill Nye has been well known for years as Bill Nye the Science Guy. That moniker actually given to him not because he was so knowledgeable in the world of science. It was given to him as part of a comedy sketch on a local program in Seattle in which Bill was acting. Actually, contrary to what you might think, Bill's degree in college was not in the life sciences or geology or botany, or biology, or cryptography, or archaeology, or climate science, or weather. His degree was in mechanical engineering. As a matter of fact, his PhDs were awarded to him and not earned. Bill is basically a well-known actor turned advocate. Well, today, Bill Nye visits the Ark Encounter escorted by Ken Ham, the CEO and founder of Answers in Genesis, the highly acclaimed creation museum, and the world-renowned Ark Encounter. If nothing else, it's interesting hearing how condescending atheist evolutionists interact with creationists and the answers they give in support of their evolutionist theories. Today on A Time Apart.
Well, good evening from Northern Kentucky this March 13. 8 p.m. It's going to be a little snowy, they say, tonight, but we're missing the worst of the big snowstorm. Well, I'm Ken Ham, president of Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, and the Ark Encounter. And tonight, we're live streaming for you a two-hour walk through the life-size Ark with myself and Bill Nye. Before the Ark Encounter was opened in 2016, I publicly invited Bill Nye to come and visit the Ark Encounter, and I told him I would give him a personal tour. Well, he took us up on that, but he said he would come with his video crew. So we said, okay, we know what you want to do. You want to get excerpts for a documentary that you're actually producing and your Netflix series. So that's okay, as long as we can have our video crew there. And he agreed to that. And so we had two video crews follow us around. We started on the third deck, which is where he wanted to start, because he wanted to immediately talk about climate change. And then we walked through all three decks, and we had a group of people. There were a number of people there that day, and young people, quite a large number of young people, actually, that followed us through the three decks. And so as we go through, you'll hear Bill Nye say all sorts of interesting things, and I challenge him, and we have this back and forth. We go head to head. It was cordial, but it was lively. I was able to present the gospel to him, but we want you to see the uncut video where I walk through the Ark with Bill Nye. And this happened on July 8th, the day after the Ark Encounter was opened to the general public. Enjoy this two-hour walkthrough.
To start down here, okay, just walk up onto the first deck and just walk up to the third deck.
Okay.
So then you get to see all the exhibits and all the way up and just give you...
One by one going up?
Yep.
Okay. Would it be okay if we started on the third and went down to the first?
Well, we could do, but... It's sort of in order if you go 1, 2, 3.
Okay. So up to Bill. You want to do 1, 2, 3 or 3, 2, 1?
And the thing is, I think we're going to do a sit down afterwards.
Where is the sit down?
In the third deck.
Okay. I'm honestly fine with anything. Okay. We really want to do the third.
Yeah, you guys scoped it out.
Oh, you want to fix it? Go for it. Do you mind if we go to the third first?
Well, we could do. It's just we've got to come down and come all the way back up. That's all. It's just...
Can we take the elevator back up to get up to the third? Because what we were, Jason and I got a chance to look through, and we loved the top four exhibits the most. And there's even an exhibit with Bill. So we thought that we could start up there. Is that all right?
Just so you want to go 3, 2, 1?
That's okay.
Okay.
Man, this lighting is so insane.
But we want this hidden.
Did you get that on sound? I want to record a lightning effect for you.
While we're at it, I'm going to change batteries and get the time.
All right. I'll change things.
So let me take your receiver here.
Well, we need to go up in the elevator.
I don't have anything.
Here, I got
it. So can you go get the elevator ready?
Yeah, that's fine.
We only have one elevator working right now. The big freight elevator's still not connected up.
Okay.
Well, that was a nice cracker. Oh, I can see the light. I looked on the radar. Once this goes through, there's nothing behind it. That was especially for you, Bill.
No, it was me. I get behind on my email sometimes.
I'm way behind this week on my emails.
Okay, we're ready.
All right.
Oh, we're ready, but I'm not sure he is. They are.
So we'll take the elevator to the third. And then
yeah,
the
okay.
Down.
So, Ben, if you want to look after getting the elevator for us.
So we're really rolling? So, Mr. Hamm, are these chines for stability?
Yeah. It's built with three keels because we had an architect who's involved
There's
in marine engineering.
Shell, right?
No, that's real. They're concrete piers. They go down to actually solid rock.
There's a shell above this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in other words, Mr. Hamm, this ship is not seaworthy, is it?
What do you say to kids?
We didn't build it to float
because there's never going to be another global flood. So
How do you know that?
It was designed as a ship, but built as a building. So how do I know that? Well, on the basis of the Bible. I know I believe the Bible is God's word, and I know you don't, but on the basis of the Bible, after the flood, God said there'll never be another global flood again. Been lots of local floods, but not global.
Where does this say that?
Genesis chapter 10. Oh, sorry, Genesis chapter 9. God said there's a covenant between him and man and him and the animals, and the rainbow was the sign of that covenant, that there would never be another flood as the one that he sent.
So, rainbows, what makes a rainbow? Would there be rainbows without that covenant?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't say that that's when God made the rainbow. It just says that the rainbow was to be a sign. In other words, anytime you see a rainbow, it's to be a reminder. In other words, a reminder that there'll never be another global flood. So, yeah, a rainbow would exist when you have
Will we see a rainbow today?
Will we see a rainbow today? We might. Once the sun is seen through the clouds there, you never know, we might.
You might, but when it's the middle of the day, the sun's high, and you seldom get that directed angle to create a rainbow. Once in a while. Careful. Yeah. So what goes on here in the Ice Age?
Well, one of the things that we're talking about is the Ice Age was generated by the flood. In other words, you know, those who believe in evolution actually believe
I'm sorry, so your claim is that there was an ice age 4,000 years ago?
The ice age was back towards
the
flood.
What do you base that on?
What do we base that on? Well, as you know...
Here we have evidence for this. Yeah. But what's the evidence for that?
We don't have evidence for that. That's an interpretation. You can't find ice that has labels on it.
Yes, you can.
Labels?
Absolutely.
They say, I'm 300,000 years old?
Oh, wait. Yes, sir, you're a science educator.
I've never seen one of those. Where do you see one of those?
You count neutrons and oxygen atoms. That's how it's done.
Yeah, but
it's as though it has a label.
But it doesn't say I'm 300,000 years old.
Not in English, no.
No, you have to interpret it on the basis of certain assumptions, right? You have assumptions.
Or certain discoveries.
No, assumptions. I mean...
Let's go with discoveries.
Go ahead.
How do you get an ice age 4,000 years ago?
Let's go with assumptions, because whenever you're interpreting the past, you have to have certain basic assumptions about elements that were there and rates of change and all that sort of thing.
So you're saying, is this your observational science and historical science?
Oh, absolutely.
So
It's not my observational science, historical science.
So explain this. There, in my opinion, in my view, there's no evidence for an ice age 4,000 years ago.
Let me ask you a question. Did you want to walk through the Ark, or do you just want to come up here and attack our beliefs?
Because I did promise you
a walk through the Ark.
Okay, okay.
And I know you want to head to the third floor because our teaching exhibits are here. But let me explain here. Actually, creationists have a mechanism for an ice age. Because after the flood, you got warm water, cool land, a lot of evaporation. You're going to have a mechanism for an ice age. What's your mechanism for ice ages? Because you would believe in ice ages, right? I mean, different ice ages over hundreds of thousands of years.
The eccentricity of the Earth's orbit?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you're looking at that. You're looking at the Earth's orbits now, but what's your mechanisms for the different ice ages?
Well, we look at what the Earth was doing 300,000 years ago.
But you can't look at that. Well, you can only see the Earth now.
Yeah, but you can see evidence of the past.
Well, we see evidence in the present.
So where do you draw the line? This is what everybody wonders about, your worldview.
Okay.
Where do you draw the line between what you can observe directly and what you can infer?
Well, I know that...
If you come into a room and a window's open, do you presume that no one opened it because you weren't there to watch them open it?
Well, the thing
is... If you see ice in a glass, do you presume it got there in the last few seconds because you weren't there to see the freezer created?
You know...
It's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary worldview. Go ahead, lead on.
Okay, so you don't want answers?
Sure, go ahead.
You just want to make statements without answers?
Go ahead.
You know, come on, we can have a friendly talk about this.
Go ahead.
You know, you come up here and attack mode, Bill. Come on, let's not attack each other.
Go ahead.
Let's just be friendly. And I know you have a different worldview to me. And, you know, when it comes to something like ice cube in a cup, I mean, we live in the present world and we've experienced those things. We've experienced ice cubes and we have cups, and that's something that's in within our life's experiences, and it's very easy to infer that somebody put that ice in that cup. But when it comes to talking about the past when we weren't there and things we didn't experience, that's very different. And that's where we need to have an understanding of the difference between interpretation and what you actually observe in the present and had experience with.
So let's talk about this again. What makes you think this was 4,000 years ago?
What makes us think that was 4,000 years ago? Well, first of all, we take the chronology in the Bible, and that chronology in the Bible is that Noah's flood was about 4,300 years ago. And so that gives us a date at the end of the flood. Then we look at the evidence that we have today of the fact that we know that there was ice in the past. We know there were glaciers in the past that advanced because we see the evidence in the present. You can actually see.
What evidence do we see?
Oh, glacially carved valleys. But you
weren't there to see those glaciers.
No, that's true. That's true. We weren't.
You're okay with that, but you're not okay with neutron.
The difference with that is we can actually see what glaciers do. We've actually experienced what glaciers do, and we know the evidence that glaciers leave, and evidence of moraines, and evidence of the way they erode.
What about sedimentation rates? What about neutrons in the water?
Sedimentation rates. It all depends on circumstances. I mean, if you weren't there, I mean, something could be deposited very quickly that you look at today and think was deposited slowly. I mean, if you didn't see it happen.
That's where we disagree.
Yeah,
if you didn't see it happen means it didn't happen.
No, I'm not. You're saying something that's not true.
I'm open-minded, but I don't see any evidence for an ice age 4,000 years ago. There are pyramids older than 4,000 years ago.
You've got a lot of young people here. How would you convince them that there were ice ages over hundreds of thousands
of years? Mr. Hamm, that's my biggest concern.
I tell you my biggest concern, that you're teaching generations of these young people that are just animals, that they came about by natural processes. Aren't you teaching that humans are animals? Are we animals?
Yeah. We're mammals. Breathe air. Okay. Isn't that good?
So all life is related,
right? Of
course,
right? There's a few of us like lizards.
From your perspective, all life is related?
Certainly.
Even plants? We're related to plants?
It's one of the fundamental discoveries in all of life.
Okay, so we're related to plants?
Yes.
So we're related to a banana?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted...
What makes you think we're not related to bananas? What evidence do you have that the DNA in bananas, the DNA in E. coli, the DNA in ancient cave bears, what evidence do you have that we're not related to them? Besides, we're clear.
Okay, well, do you have any evidence that, as you know, all life is, basically, life is built on DNA. And DNA is an information system and a language system. So do you have any evidence that matter produces a language system, matter produces information? I mean, there are billions, trillions of bits of information in living systems. Can you testify to how information arose by natural processes?
Here we are.
That's it? That's your evidence?
Well, we'll start with the evidence and work backwards. What I think you're asking is the why.
Actually, you're not starting with evidence. You don't believe in God, right?
That aside, here's what we disagree.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you believe life came about by natural processes?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got that belief. So yes. You don't start with evidence, you start with a belief.
No, I claim I started with evidence to reach that belief.
Oh, no, but you
know, let's look at some more of the exhibit.
You start with a belief in naturalism.
Well, you start with a belief in what?
Oh, yeah.
What is your belief?
I admit my belief. My belief is that God's word is true and that the history in God's word is true. And see, what we're talking about here, and this is the whole point that we're helping people understand. We all live in the present. We all have the same present evidence. But depending on your assumptions and how you approach your worldview depends on how you interpret evidence in relation to the past. Because you believe everything happened by natural process, you don't believe the history in the Bible, right? Well, in Genesis.
Well, not literally.
No, I do. And see, that's a big difference. So all I want you to do is admit that you have certain beliefs you start with.
My beliefs are based on evidence.
How can you prove life arose by natural processes? How do you prove that?
We haven't proven it.
Well, then that's a belief.
Yes, but the explanation that you provide is completely unreasonable to me.
Oh.
And unacceptable,
Unreasonable by whom?
Well, as soon as you go back in time...
You can't go back in time. We live in the present.
In your worldview. As soon as you produce a miracle, then you're not doing science.
Well, I'm not producing a miracle.
There's no such thing.
What do you mean by science?
So this is the most troubling thing you do, Mr. Hamm. Climate change is the most serious problem facing humankind. And so by trying to convince young people that climate change is not real is very serious, because they're going to have to grow up and deal with it.
Actually, we're saying climate
change
is real.
The Middle Ice Age was a local phenomenon.
Bill, we're saying climate change is real.
So is it serious?
Climate change?
Yes.
What you have to do then is say, why have they changed? Climates change all the time.
Let me rephrase it for you. Human-caused climate change is very serious.
Well, there's a lot of debate about that.
There's
a lot of scientists who would disagree with that. In fact, we have PhD scientists on our staff that would disagree with that. We have other PhD scientists.
Your scientists and your staff, as respectful as I can be, are incompetent.
You mean Dr. Nathaniel Jensen, who has a PhD from Harvard University? He's incompetent?
From what I've seen on television, he is. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, it's here? Oh, here we are.
Tell me, Dr. Georgia Purdom, who has a PhD in molecular genetics from Ohio State, she's incompetent?
Certainly seems to be.
Well, this is about, in the debate, you talked about it takes a long time for ice to be laid down, and this is an example where it doesn't take that long at all.
No, you're confusing ice with snow.
Antarctica?
Oh, yeah, I see.
We're using what we do.
Ice with snow.
We're using what we do in the, what
everybody,
happens in the present.
Everybody here, if you visit this place in Greenland, where 80 meters of 260 feet of snow accumulated, you will find the number of layers from 1942 to today. You will find the same number of layers. Okay, it won't be up to me. I didn't put the layers there. The process, which I think you don't fully accept, is as the layers get thicker and thicker, they crush down through a remarkable process called regelation. And you've done this yourselves when you make a snowball. You break the tines of the snowflakes, they release a little bit of heat, melt the water, and it gets harder and harder. And if you do it hard enough, long enough, the ice actually becomes clear. This is glacial ice. It absorbs red light and it looks blue. It's beautiful. So this is completely consistent with mainstream science. That the snow falls a lot here in this part of Greenland is not the same thing as counting the age of the Earth or the records of ice ages, the records of when unleaded gas was introduced by looking at the layers of snow. Mr. Hamm, with respect, You completely misunderstand the point that you're trying to make.
No, Bill, I think you misunderstand the point. The point is, we actually know how long those layers took to be laid down. When you go and look at the layers of ice, when you bring up ice cores, you didn't see them being laid down. You weren't there at the beginning, and you make assumptions about the
layers. So you believe that there was a supernatural process that created the many layers that we observed?
No, but
is that right? You believe that there was a supernatural process that created 670,000 layers?
Absolutely not.
How did it happen?
They were laid down catastrophically. They were laid down quickly. They didn't in other words, when you make interpretations about each layer and how long it took to be laid down, that's your interpretation. And what we're saying is you can have multiple layers very, very quickly.
So
and we've seen sounds that in the present.
Sounds like you're cherry picking data.
No, cherry picking. That's just a good example. It's a great example.
Your claim is that there were 670,000 layers of snow laid down in, for example, Antarctica or Greenland.
Hey, look, you can get multiple layers in a day.
How many can you get in a day?
You can get multiple layers in a day, correct? I mean, you see.
No, sir.
You can
challenge you.
You can observe that. Let me ask a question. All these young people here, you say if they're taught creation, it'll undermine technology, destroy technology, it'll destroy their science. Is that correct?
When you say destroy, you mean make Facebook not work? What do you mean?
Well, I'm asking you what you mean. When you were at the bait and you said, when you teach young people, children, you're going to have a major when you teach young people, teach children creation, you're going to have a major problem in regard to technology and advances of technology.
Who wants to be an astronaut? Anybody? And we find right on. Do you know we got a spacecraft in orbit around Jupiter on July 4th?
How could it be?
So I was at Cape Canaveral, you guys, on August 5th, 2011. Here, let's move away from the sound. On August 5th, 2011, I was at Cape Canaveral. We launched a rocket that went out beyond the orbit of Mars, fell back toward the sun, went around the Earth, where it took an infinitesimal amount of energy from the Earth's orbit, then went out to Jupiter and approached Jupiter from the north.
That's great observational
science. On Monday,
That
spacecraft went in orbit around Jupiter. That's rocket science, everybody.
Yeah, and scientists, engineers in the present use their five senses to be able to develop that technology. What's that got to do with Origins?
The same process enables us to count layers of snow.
No, it doesn't, because you're experimenting with the rockets in the present, the fuel, the structure of the rocket, the engineering. When it comes to looking at the layers that are already there, you weren't there to see them being laid down. That's the point.
Yeah, so how do you feel about forensics, Mr. Hamm? How do you feel about the process that detectives use to determine what happened at a crime scene?
Oh, yeah.
If you weren't there and you didn't see how a guy got killed.
And they have to interpret the evidence, and sometimes they get it wrong, actually. And those things are much closer in the present than when you're talking about way in the past, because it might have been a murder that happened yesterday. And so you can go in and look at the evidence.
But
scientists have been known. Forensic scientists have put people in jail who've been innocent, correct?
I suppose. Yeah.
Because they made the wrong interpretation.
Because they didn't have all the evidence. But they've also arrested a lot of people based on very good science.
Based on science in the present. In other words, you can test for blood and say, this is blood.
So this is where we disagree. Everybody, this is where we disagree. This is where Mr. Hamm and I disagree, on the nature of evidence.
Oh no, the evidence is all the same. It's not
so
the nature of evidence.
So when we find people on the outside,
it's the nature
find
of
layers of
Bill.
Snow that are this thick, because they're crushed down by 670,000 years of snow, we interpret it as real. The snow actually fell 670,000 years ago. The number of neutrons.
No. Where's the label saying it's 670,000?
The neutrons.
I don't want you leading these young people astray. Okay. Where's the label saying it was 670,000 years?
And in the layers themselves.
How would they see 670,000 years?
You would count
the
layers. You would go to the ice core lab in Golden, Colorado. We've been there.
And
you look at a block of ice that's been drilled out of the ice in Greenland.
And you count the layers. And what do you do with each layer? How do you get the 670?
That's how many thousands of layers there are in certain of the cores.
But what are you assuming about the layers? Was there one a year, or what are you assuming?
Sure.
But how do you know? But
How do we know that? By careful measurement.
That's the very point of the example that we have here.
By careful measurement.
No, you can see.
Furthermore, you can do this.
Some of these people are from states where they get massive snow and ice storms, and I've actually seen the layers in the snow. Have you seen the layers in the snow?
We're not talking about the same thing. Have you seen them? Have you seen them crush down to where they're clear?
When it rains on top of the snow, they do.
Yeah, but in Antarctica,
and multiple layers, and multiple layers form.
So you guys, I want you to evaluate my claim that when there's 670,000 layers in a core of ice, there are 670,000 years associated with that.
Well, no, compare that. You got to tell them where you get the years from. Where do you get the years from?
No, I say they all evaluate it for themselves. You don't have to take my word for it.
Okay. Have you seen layers for multiple layers?
Yeah. I would like to know your opinion though. Like what are the years? Like what do you think they are? Is it every layer is one
so
year?
When you guys see these particular pieces of ice I'm talking about, and there's a building in Golden, Colorado where we keep them, it's minus 36 Celsius. Everybody who works there puts on a big hood, big parka to go inside and work. You can see where the snow is crushed down. The tines of snowflakes break, release a tiny bit of heat, which makes it melt ever so slightly, and they turn this distinctive clear color. You can look at when unleaded gas was in use, and when leaded gas was in use. You can see the chemicals in the snow. You can infer the temperature of the sea surface by the number of neutrons in the water. You evaluate my way of looking at it and compare it with his.
Well,
my way of looking at it is from the outside.
Here's what I want to do for the young people. I actually want to teach them how to think correctly. And that is, you have these layers in the present and you weren't there to see them being laid down. You don't know how many storms there were. You don't know how many
But how would you figure were. Out how many storms there were?
Ah, well, that's the point. That's it.
Well, there's a way to do it.
That's exactly, no.
It's his way, which I understand comes from a scripture, right?
No.
You think that there have been such like fluctuating climates and stuff that it's hard to know?
But we
exactly
infer that also. We figure that out also. That's
so kind
our
of
business.
Everyone, it's everyone's guess then? Kind of everyone has a separate guess?
I wouldn't use the word guess. Everybody understand
how
that on the outside, 97% at least of the world scientists are very concerned about climate change. On the outside.
No, you just
caused by humans.
Hey, Bill, you just swapped subjects.
We discovered ancient climates and what it used to be like by looking at these same cores of ice, these same pieces of ice.
But are you really discovering ancient climates, or are you just discovering what's there in the present and you're interpreting as ancient climates? It could have been different conditions in the one year.
Very, very skeptical. There's absolutely no way, in my view, that you could have that many conditions in one year and nobody noticed. Mr. Ham, there are trees older than you believe the Earth is.
How do you know that?
Mr. Ham, because we count tree rings. But Mr. Ham, there are pyramids. There are human-built structures older than the stuff you are showing.
Let's get back to the tree rings. We want these new people to understand.
So what we all wonder about you.
No, let's get back to the tree rings.
Let's talk about tree rings.
Okay, let's get back to tree rings. So when you're counting those rings, you assume one growth period a year?
Most of the time.
How do you know that?
We've looked at a lot of trees.
Yeah, and we've actually seen trees that can
millions
have multiple.
Of trees.
We've actually seen trees that can have multiple growth rings.
Have you seen trees that have thousands of trees?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, we've actually got.
So when you get out there, when you get out in the world, compare his claim to my claim. My claim is that you can count the years from tree rings. You can infer
how many plants were there. In front of all these young people, let me ask you this. Do you know 100% for sure that it was one ring a year? Do you know 100% for sure?
You're cherry-picking a data.
Do you know
the difference between rings. Sometimes there's a wide ring, sometimes there's a narrow ring.
There can be. And you have
and
to put
scientists who study
you have to put
this,
trees together, and you have to look at those.
You're working
and
real
you assume
hard,
where
Mr.
the rings overlap.
You're working very hard. So, carry on. Lead on.
No.
Yes, sir.
You took all this time to study all this, and you don't believe, right, in God?
I didn't say that. I do not believe the Earth is 6,000 years old.
Okay.
That's a very different thing.
But you do believe
God?
I just don't want to discuss that.
Okay.
I think it's distracting.
But you do believe
we're talking about the claim that there was a worldwide flood and all the plants in the world were under salt water for a full year.
Well, hang on.
That there's a claim that somehow pyramids older than 6,000 years exist and were not washed away. That somehow there are 670,000 layers of ice from 670,000 years of snowfall, and nobody noticed.
Okay, you just made
the only thing you go by are the dating of today, because if that's...
We go by all of it, the number, the pollen grains, the tree rings, the ice layers.
The tree rings.
And the other fundamental thing, everybody, we have very accurate records of how much carbon dioxide people have put in the air.
Hey, you know what's interesting? I promised Bill to give him a walk through the arc, and he came up here and just tried to attack me.
Keep straight.
And attack what we do.
Carbon dating, which goes back a few hundred and sometimes a thousand or so years, with radioactive dating,
what's
which
that?
Goes back billions of years.
So tree rings. Tree rings. You don't know it was one ring a year.
Sometimes it's a little different.
Okay, but you agree that it could be more than one ring a year because you could have more than one growth period a year.
That's that I don't know. I'm not.
Oh yeah, you can.
We've seen that. If
climate's
right here, then I'll get out of your face.
I like it. Bring it on.
Well, no. You spent all this time, your adult life, researching all this and everything.
Yeah.
So why don't you just take the time, look at the creation that's here.
I have taken the time.
And God created that. He created man in His own image.
That could be, but I'm skeptical.
You're skeptical. Just take the time and have faith and spend the rest of your
life.
See,
here's the problem.
Wondering about that.
No, here's the problem, you guys. As soon as you go back in time, as soon as you have any process of reasoning that requires a miracle, then it's not science. Then you've departed from something.
Who do you believe doesn't require any miracles? Your belief doesn't require any miracles.
No miracle.
No miracles?
No.
So everything happened. No, everything happened by natural processes.
The other big problem that we disagree on.
So everything happened by natural processes,
yes,
right?
Yes, as far as we can tell.
So everything, the universe, all life happened by natural processes.
Well, see, we don't know. Here's another difference we have, I think. When I find out that there was a Big Bang, Edwin Hubble discovered the stars moving apart from each other in 1927 or so. I go, that's astonishing, that's amazing. I am part of this universe, and yet I have the ability to understand this little bit of it. That's amazing.
Mr. Knight.
And hang on, let me finish this one paragraph. So when I find out that I don't know what there was before the Big Bang, or what it even means to ask the question, what was there before the Big Bang, I'm excited. That's fantastic. There's more to learn. There's another amazing discovery to be made. Whereas other people are very troubled by that.
Do you think you have a soul?
Okay, let's walk down here.
Can I just ask?
Let's just walk down.
I can't tell.
Okay.
I don't know.
What if you miss it all?
I don't think I will. So I don't think I'm.
Can
I
just say speculation? Yeah. Pure
speculation. Please, yeah.
What would the evidence look like if there was a full Earth flood?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I've never seen anything like it.
We can speculate.
I've never seen any evidence at all to suggest.
Can I ask you one question? Okay, you talk a lot, and that's great. But can I ask you one question that I really want to understand? If you promise you'll answer.
Well, but I'm not going to necessarily give you an answer you want, yes or no, to tree rings and years.
I'm not talking that. In your worldview, when you die, what happens to you?
You're done.
So what?
And if that turns out not to be true, that would be very exciting.
Okay, but if you say you're done, so you won't even know you're ever here.
Apparently not.
So then, why do you care what we're doing here? Why do you care about climate change? Why do you ultimately? Because ultimately, when all these people die, they're done, and nothing has any ultimate purpose. So why does it matter? Why does it matter ultimately?
So let's be clear.
Okay.
What we do is make more people. What organisms do is reproduce.
But still, when they die, they're done. So why does it matter?
So my claim.
Why does it matter ultimately?
My claim is that not only your size and shape, number of fingers, eye color, and so on, is a result of the main idea in all of biology, evolution. Not only is evolution the main idea in biology, but what you feel is also a result of evolution.
But why does that matter if you're done when you die? I mean, why does it all matter? Everyone's done. They won't even know they're here. Why?
You're asking fundamental existential questions. This is great, Mr. Hand.
But why?
The idea is to pass your genes on to the future.
But they're going to die and be done too.
Maybe they will achieve great things and inspire us. Maybe they'll find out what happened before the Big Bang.
What does it matter?
Maybe they'll determine whether or not the core of Jupiter is hydrogen acting like a metal, or if it's really metal.
And why does that matter to them when they're done?
Because maybe we will discover a new source of energy that will power the whole world based on this new physics.
And why does that matter when they're done?
Because what we do is live. The meaning of life is to live and pass your genes on.
Okay, you live now, pass your genes on, and then you die, you're done. I still don't understand why.
So why would you leave the world worse than you found it? That's my question. Why would you be obsessed with teaching people that humans are not causing climate change? Why would you take a book's word for it when you could discover the world for yourself?
Humans did cause climate change because we sinned against a holy God, and now we live in a sin-cursed universe.
Okay, so, you know, I spent some time in Japan last year. They don't have any tradition like that. What's wrong with them?
Actually, there are cultures all over the world that do have such traditions.
Well, but not the one I spent a lot of time with.
Some people.
And before they eat, they thank the people that created the meal because they...
It's interesting they even thank people. I mean, there's remnants of Christian thought all over the culture. But I still want to know, when we're all done, everyone's done here, why will our conversation even matter?
If we can empower a generation of young people to make scientific discoveries, to provide clean water, reliable electricity, and access to worldwide information to everyone in the world, that will be a very good thing.
But then they die and they're all done, so why did it matter for them?
Because they will pass their genes on and become some new thing.
But if when you die you don't even remember you were here because you know nothing, what's the purpose of living now anyway?
See, so this is the difference between him and me. I find it extraordinary and amazing that I get to live right now, at this time in the cosmos, and be part of this amazing system we call the universe.
Guess what? I do too. I find it extraordinary. And I know that the reason I'm here is because God created people.
I have another fundamental question for you.
Noah's Ark was
Old Testament.
Listen to me and tell me why it's so extraordinary. Because as the Bible says, it's so evident that there's God. I mean, you look at DNA, a language system, an information system. We never see evidence that came about by natural processes.
Well, I claim we do, so we disagree.
Oh, can you give me an example?
Example of what?
Matter producing information. There's billions of bits, zillions of bits of information on this. So can you give me an example of
she's a good example.
Yeah, she's here, but how did the information arise from matter?
We don't know. So I find that extraordinary and exciting and wonderful.
We don't know. In the beginning, God created.
I think I know. I think that it all came from God.
In the beginning, God created.
Okay, I'm open-minded but skeptical. So here's where we have difficulty.
I have a question for you. Why do you think that most living things all have a nose and two eyes and two ears and one mouth?
Welcome to our world. This is the main idea in all of biology, my dear. Yeah. This is the fundamental idea in life science. It's evolution.
Welcome. But can I say something?
Please.
If you've ever seen paintings all by the same artist, they all look really similar, right?
I guess.
Yeah. So if we were all made by the same artist, how can we all have?
Okay, but what makes you say we were all made by the same artist?
Because I believe that God created us all.
Okay, so, in other words, you went back to a miracle. Do you see what I mean?
How could this not be a miracle? How do you think you could understand everything?
You said you can't explain how matter produces information.
But for me, that's exciting. Not proof that there is an entity.
I think it's really exciting, too, that you can see how great and awesome this is.
It's astonishing. So you and I are made of the same material as exploded stars. So you and I are at least one of the ways the universe knows itself.
So are you saying that the stars created us?
So for us...
How is that any more or less... Don't you have
a blind faith, Bill?
No.
Because you said everything came about by natural processes.
I've observed the stars moving apart.
Have you observed stars form people?
Not yet. By the way, everybody, you are living at a time when it's very reasonable that we will find evidence of life on Mars,
or evidence of life on Europa, the moon of Jupiter, with twice as much seawater as the Earth.
There was just an article the other day where they now said, oh, I think it'll be another 1,500 years before we find evidence.
I disagree with that. I work at the Planetary Society, and we don't feel
that
way.
But they've been searching for years, and they've never found any evidence.
What have you seen that does show that?
Say it again?
What have you seen that does, like, show up?
Oh, well, so this year, last October, scientists are convinced that water flows on Mars every Martian summer. Water flows down. There's all this sub-sand ice on Mars. Everywhere we look on Earth, everywhere we look, and we find just even the little dampness, there's something alive.
But do we find that on Mars?
So not yet. So everybody, if we were to discover evidence of life on Mars, does it have DNA?
But
okay, one way we'll not find it, Mr. Hamm, is to not look.
But
will guarantee us not finding it.
But it doesn't. You haven't found it, though.
Not yet.
No, I just want to.
But we have very reasonable places to look.
But
by the way, the planetary science budget is about $1.6 billion.
But we do find evidence of life all over Earth, right?
It's 9% of the NASA budget. It's less than a cup of coffee per taxpayer. Yet that's where we make these extraordinary discoveries. If we find life.
You did discover something?
Not yet. That's why we want to build the next rover in 2020 to look.
They've been looking
after that in 2022.
They've been looking for years, haven't they, for life in outer space?
Yeah, the space.
And if I push.
Space exploration is only 50 years old, Mr. M.
And if you do find something, what is that? What would that?
What would it mean to you?
What it mean to me?
Yeah. Would it? What does it have DNA?
I don't know.
Or not?
We would have to check, wouldn't we?
So, or would we look in a book?
See, they're just all speculative things.
They're fantastic things.
You know that you have
fantastic things to speculate upon. Furthermore.
Why is it fantastic?
It is not. I'll tell you why. I have purchased a Martian meteorite from a guy in Colorado that collects them. When you go to Antarctica and you find rocks on top of the ice, where did the rocks come from? There are no mountains anywhere around. They came from space. They're meteorites.
Listen, I don't understand how you think that we can understand everything that's out there. Like, us little
humans. It's a quest. That's what's so wonderful.
I know, but
that's what's so inspiring.
You act like you have
a process by
everything.
Which we can know the universe. Yes, we can know the cosmos and our place within it.
Why do you think that, like, our technology and our, like, evaluation of science is as developed as it's going to get?
No.
So how
Absolutely
do you know
not.
That the stuff that you think you know now?
It's going to change. I guarantee you, everyone.
So then you're saying
there
that
are things that I. Except as true that are not.
That are not true. Yeah.
And that doesn't bother me, that excites me.
What, how?
We're gonna make discoveries.
Well, that is a time apart for today. If you listen carefully, you will come to realize what evolutionist theory is based upon. It's up to you to make that decision whether it's plausible or not. We'll hear more from Bill and Ken tomorrow on part two. Remember, A Time Apart can be heard 7 days a week at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and each episode will be in our podcasts, which can be accessed on our site at pbnradio.com. Claudia and I will be here waiting on you next time on A Time Apart.